Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. God damn it. We're a political, comedic, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world with our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire. Make it a hail? Thank you. Hail. I don't know where the fuck Ali went. He just went to get himself some water or some shit.
Sierra Mist.
Anyways, we get this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes. So please rate, review, subscribe, and share a page and podcast to all your friends and family members and loved ones, because you truly don't love someone until you have spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. Amen. Okay. Where are we going for this? We are your hosts of this illustrious, majestic, inaugurational podcast.
It's not a word.
That's not okay. Well, whatever, dude. Betsy DeVos like made up a whole bunch of words, and
she didn't make up a bunch of words.
She just fucking used them all. Yeah.
She didn't make anything up. She just misused it.
We got the.
She also didn't manage to say absolutely nothing about anything that whole time.
We are a presidential award of freedom winning podcast. That's something, right?
Yeah, but you said it wrong.
What is it?
The presidential awarded winning.
Award winning. Like,
you messed up the past. You messed up the tenses for some reason.
Whatever, dude.
You got excited.
It is what it is. We won that award from Barack Hussein Obama because we were part of the Muslim Brotherhood. My name is Diz, and I am your historian / classical nerd.
No, you're not.
Alternative facts. I could be whatever the fuck I want, bro. And now that a man who talked to you about pop culture and sports. Ali, take it away.
My name is Ali A. Alomi, and I am hip with the millennials. # alternative facts. V.
Good evening, friends. This is V. Tran, your white woman president. Also the foremost scholar on Islam and the esoterics of the Levant.
Now you're just making shit up. The esoterics of the Levant. That's nothing.
I thought that was something. It sounded good.
No, damn it. I almost had.
Literally Diz, meaningless.
I had Diz until you had to call me out.
The esoterics of the Levant means nothing.
He had me. I thought it was one of your complete like accolades.
Complete bullshit.
I was like, ooh, Ali is the foremost scholar in esoterics.
He put in a fancy word with a region and he fooled you.
You could do that.
He completely fooled
Listen, you. Okay, that's presidential.
Yeah.
# alternative facts. Why are we introducing ourselves like idiots?
Because, I mean, people may know the facts, but we're just giving them our alternative facts.
We live in a weird world. Let's just put it that. 2017, I've already said it's going to be a weird year. We've started this year off with this inauguration, right? But we started off with the 20th, right?
Yeah.
And our dearly beloved president decided that his number one priority for his very first to send out his press secretary was to argue over crowd size of his inauguration.
You expect anything less from a man who like went on record to talk about how big his penis was? Yeah.
So like he is legitimately arguing that there were millions of people there.
No, there wasn't.
When there wasn't.
No, there
like,
wasn't.
Like crowd scientists are like, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
He's claiming that he won in a massive electoral landslide that was greater than any Republican has ever won since Reagan. George Bush got 405. He's in the 300. Like, it's like, this is like, these, it's like,
yeah, I could have
like
sworn
four is greater than three. I don't know.
Yeah, if I could have sworn like Bush like beat Kerry pretty bad.
Yeah, by 400. He got 400 electoral votes. Okay. 405. So it's like, he's claiming things that are like factually
incorrect.
Not true, right? And so he sent out his press secretary. And then, of course, the media called that shit out. Right? Like, this is a lie. And so the defense of the lie was Kellyanne Conway, who is our very own Goebbels, right? Going up there and goes, well, he was presenting alternative facts, which naturally made Twitter go have an orgasm online.
Of alternative facts.
Yeah, of # alternative facts or # Spicer facts.
Right? Dude, like,
Look.
It just doesn't.
I just want to say this thing. Like, this administration, there's that old saying, you're entitled to your opinion, you're not entitled to your facts.
Mm-hmm.
This administration's like, hold on, I'm going to prove you wrong. Like, hold my drink, I got this. We're going to prove that we're entitled to our own facts. Like, alternative facts.
And the sad thing is here's the thing. So Friday, when people were calling out the size of the inauguration online, right, like a lot of like,
see, bringing in size was what really really pissed them off.
He's a deeply insecure man. Yeah.
So people were like posting pictures of like the two inaugurations.
Yeah.
And then you had like liberals were like, that's because Trump supporters were too busy working to be there, right?
Liberals were saying this?
No. Conservatives were saying it. Sorry.
The exact opposite of
yeah, you know what I meant.
The other side.
The other side. They were like,
liberals.
They were like, well, Trump supporters are too busy working to be at the inauguration, right? And then the next day, I was like, well, no, there was millions of them there. Which is it, motherfucker? They're too busy at their jobs, or there was millions of them there? Like, I don't get it. And then someone said that, because John Legend posted that, right?
Yeah.
And someone said to him, well, that's because all the Trump supporters were too busy at their jobs. And he's like, you're right. Unemployment's at an all-time low. Thanks, Obama.
Oh, God.
That was like the best comeback I ever
heard. I saw a great meme, actually, the other day, where it shows the picture. You know the picture, right? Uh-huh. Where it shows how empty the inauguration is, like the streets.
Uh-huh.
And if you notice in the middle, there's like, it looks like snow-capped sheets.
Yeah, it's just white.
Right.
Yeah.
And then tarp.
And the tarp, right? But then it goes to be fair on top, and then it closes in, and it just shows people in KKK outfits, like in the white tarps.
The thing is, these are the things that'll hurt him the most.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can call him an asshole, and it won't bother him.
Yeah.
But if you'd like, you didn't draw a crowd, that gets to him. So, like, think about it. It was such a big a deal that he sent out his press secretary to deal with it.
Yeah.
So the very first official press conference was him defending crowd size and being proven wrong. Now, there's also a lot of this. The problem here is, like, we talk of media as a sort of unified idea. When we say media, there's no such thing as media. There's medias, right?
Yeah.
There's individuals. The media is just not ready. Like, if the press secretary refuses to answer something, then you make sure that every single person's question after that is the same question.
Yeah.
Right? These are things like you need to organize properly. And the issue is that when you're in a capitalist society that runs
on advertisement,
you're competitive, right?
Yeah.
There's friendly competition. Like, everyone gets along, NBC and CNN, but you're competing to have the breaking news, the first right scoop. So you're not all sitting there like, when he doesn't answer, don't go, right? The reality is that they need the media. The media doesn't need them, right? The media can still report.
Yeah.
Right.
There's plenty of other things to report on.
Set up a camera, then listen to it, and then report it.
He's the first president in modern history that doesn't have, like, a press people, like, with him. Like
the pool?
Yeah, the press pool.
Yeah, he does move away from it. You know what he does have with him?
Right.
Official applause people.
Is he really?
Yeah, he takes with him everywhere a group of staffers that applause him. It's like, he went and gave a speech at the CIA. His first official speech was his war on the media at the CIA, which was a big deal because people were like, you're standing before the wall of all the people who have sacrificed for the intelligence community.
Uh-huh.
And you didn't mention them once. You didn't acknowledge them. You simply talked about how great your victory was. Mm. And people were clapping during his, like, oh, I'm taking on the media. And people were like, I'm surprised. Is that the CIA agents? And then reporters reported, no, that's his people that go with him wherever he goes to clap. They did the same thing when he was he did the fake news thing to Jim Acosta of CNN.
Yeah.
There was people clapping.
Yeah,
that's his staffers. He takes those staffers with him everywhere, and their job is to clap whatever he says. He doesn't have a press pool, but he does have an applause pool.
It's like a laugh track.
They also set up. What are they talking about? They're setting up the Skype, the cameras in the White House, the open media. But it's like, and it's supposedly, you would think that that'd be a good thing, right? But in actuality, it's like only the approved media is allowed to have access to those things.
What he's
doing
is he's creating an alternative source of information. So I want to actually read a quote. It's a bit of a long quote. I hope you can bear with me. this is by a. Yeah, I say this while I look directly at you for the record.
I'm sorry.
From a book called "The Origins of Totalitarianism." I highly, highly recommend it. By a woman named Hannah Arendt, who is a theorist that talks about what happened, like, how did Nazism and fascism happen?
You lost me when you said woman.
She's a brilliant, brilliant author, and Origins of Totalitarianism, along with The Trial of Eichmann, I think it is.
Adolf Eichmann.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called The Trial of Eichmann, or something Eichmann, right?
Okay.
Are probably two of her best books. Anyways, she writes, in an ever-changing, incomprehensible world, the masses had reached the point where they would at the same time believe everything and nothing. Think that everything was possible and nothing was true. The totalitarian mass ruler based their propaganda on the correct psychological assumption that under such conditions, one could make people believe the most fantastic statements one day and trust that if the next day they were given irrefutable proof of their falsehood, they would take refuge in cynicism. Instead of deserting leaders who had lied to them, they would protest they had known all along that the statement was a lie, and it would admire the leader for their superior tactical cleverness. She's talking about 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's very apropos to what's currently going on, right? So we've now lived in this area of mass media where we believe everything is true,
mm-hmm.
right? Everyone sends that stupid post this and Zuckerberg can't use your photos.
Oh my God.
While simultaneously believing everything is false.
Right.
Right. So when you're in that state, what happens is you divide up the people. You have the people who will recognize that Donald Trump is saying a falsehood. You have his supporters who will believe anything that comes out of his mouth. He could say that he's the return of Jesus. And I'm like, well, he's speaking in a metaphor. and then the third group of people who are just too tired to deal with it, go, well, we can't solve this problem.
Yes, you can.
So this is what he wants. He wants to get us cornered in that particular moment, which is why alternative facts, while funny, is fucking scary.
That's the thing, is like his supporters like wholeheartedly believe that shit.
I've watched people, like I knew people who were like in the primaries, really hardcore like Ted Cruz supporters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who then jumped like and hated Trump. Yeah. Like hated him.
Yeah.
But then jumped on the Trump train and like they now are like number one fans. They're worshipful of him.
Well, almost. Kellyanne like, Conway is one of those people.
Like he is the best president we've ever had. I'm like, well, he's been there for 4 days. Like, hold on, give him 4 years. Like,
I mean, he signed a shit ton of executive orders already,
and it's insane. It's there's a cult like quality to him. Like that's not unique. Also to, that's not unique to the right. The left does it too. Yeah, there's a certain cult-like quality.
Yeah. President Obama absolutely had it too. Yeah.
Sure.
Or
definitely.
Even, I mean, Bernie. You look at the way that Bernie kind of impacted the way that things happened during this election, not nearly enough to do anything. But at the end of the day, though, we saw something come out of Bernie that we normally wouldn't have seen any other history of our presidency.
Bernie's
right?
Following was far more about the cult of personality than it was his economic policies. Because if it wasn't, then the Bernie supporters, now the majority did, but a significant amount of them didn't become Clinton supporters. Yeah. Economically, she adopted most of his plans. He pushed her to the left.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. Like the platform that she agreed upon was Bernie's platform.
Yeah.
There's like only a couple issues.
Foreign policy.
There was the issue of Palestine.
Yeah.
That she didn't adopt. And there was tuition-free schools.
Yeah.
She did reduce debt and tuition-free college.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like a middle ground with Bernie Sanders. So it was, you're right, it's a cult of personality. There's something about Bernie. Even to this day, right? You see images of Bernie running.
With a steel chair.
That's hilarious. But there's moments of him, like he's still working for us. There's this moment where like there's this image of Bernie's back as he's like walking. And he's like, he's still fighting for us. And I'm like... There's this really interesting like cult
a lot of like my friends who are like Bernie bros and stuff and Bernie girls, like I'll see like picture they'll post pictures like, you know, like this is picture of Bernie Sanders at the Women's March, right?
Yeah.
And here's a picture of Hillary Clinton tweeting about it.
Yeah.
Someone's actually involved, you know, or people are like, you haven't heard Hillary like make one peep since the election, you know, like.
Yeah, but that's because like this is, again, people don't understand that she is his political rival. She couldn't without delegitimizing him as a president.
Yeah.
So, like, she's privileging the peaceful transition of power, which is also like a stupid liberal thing, right? Liberals are always like, oh, peaceful transition of power. They really believe in those social institutions. Those norms are very, very important for liberals.
That's all.
Whereas like leftists are like, fuck that shit, burn it to the ground.
No, seriously. Did you see Alex Jones? His drunk ass.
During the inauguration?
Alex Jones is sitting there screaming, you know, the InfoWars guy. Yeah, right? I know. You know, he's a load of shit.
Piece of shit.
He's all like, he's all screaming about like, George Washington 2.0, right?
I've never understood why he's always yelling.
Yeah, and then another random guy, he was yelling about Chinese communists and all this other stuff and how we're going to kick anyone's ass. Mm. And then some random guy yelled 1776, and then he started yelling George Washington 2.0.
Did you ever, like, did you ever see the one where he's like demanding the chip that extends your lifestyle, that like extends your life?
Yeah.
He's like, I want a chip. I'm a red-blooded American. I like meat.
Yeah.
I like women. And like rips his shirt off.
Yeah. Well, his stupid ass actually, and this is true. He actually believes that there's an ingredient in yogurt that makes kids gay.
Yeah. Yeah, the gay ingredient. Oh, that's He doesn't believe in that. He also believes that the government's been taken over by aliens.
Yeah, this guy's a nut job.
Yeah, this guy's like out there. But like he's like,
Trump called them to thank him for his
why
support.
Why is he, the thing I've never understood is like, why is he was yelling? Like, I understand your conspiracy. There's no need to be, you're going to blow a gasket.
Did he also do loose change? Is that him?
He did, I don't know if he did loose change, but he did do the, he was interviewed for the
9/11 was like a hoax. Was that him too?
Not 9/11, but he is. He does. He's a truther when it comes to
9/11,
Sandy Hook.
Oh yeah, he claims it's a false flag.
Yeah,
one
of those natural news guys.
I think he was interviewed for Jesus Camp, wasn't he?
No. He was interviewed for like after Sandy Hook, and he went on there and started fucking yelling at that British dude, who was on X Factor, and now is the
Piers Morgan. The Piers Morgan's done a total 180.
Yeah,
Piers Morgan is a pretty conservative British figure. But British conservative figures come off as very liberal to us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They do. Like when he had his show here, Piers Morgan Night on CNN or whatever it was, his big thing was really kind of the standard British
gun control.
Like gun control is a no-brainer. Yeah. Right. Like he didn't get it. Like he's like, it's a no-brainer. And then, you know, he's pro-abortion rights. He's all sorts of things that are like we consider liberal. It's just kind of standard when it comes to British politicians are all on the same page when it comes to social moral issues.
Yeah.
And I mean, to the point where like Ben Shapiro took him on and Alex Jones took him on. Get out of the country, right?
Yeah, Alex Jones took him on. Yeah, you want to take my guns?
Yeah, and now he's done this complete 180 and he's like, got total Trump shill. And that's because Trump and him are actually close friends.
Yeah.
Just goes to show you personal loyalty will throw your principles right out the window. But he's become a really obnoxious on Twitter when it comes to like Trump. Like ridiculously obnoxious. He's talking shit about the women's march.
Yeah, and
he's really annoying.
Well, you see this type of, and truth be told, right, if you look at it, at the end of the day, he may have political rivals, but they all seem pretty chummy with one another, right?
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, like, we as middle-class Americans really don't have any friends in Washington.
No.
Right? Don't. Like, they're all working, and they all, to the public, seem like they're at each other's throats trying to work towards whatever's good for us.
But in reality, they're all
shaking hands and they're playing golf with each other, right? Like that's really what it is. It's no different from guys like Anderson Cooper and Kellyanne Conway having a beer after
the interview. Yeah, that's one of my biggest frustrations. Is that at the end of the day, they are extraordinary. There's no one actually standing up. For the record, this is the one good thing about academia is that we actually take things quite seriously. Like when we disagree on like principle.
Yeah, it's like blood feuds.
Yeah.
Come out of that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like the greatest blood feuds in academia are usually between mentor and mentees. When the mentee goes, like, to make a name for themselves, they, like, throw out the mentor and they disagree with their academic writing. It's like, it gets serious.
Oh,
shit. Some of the greatest political debates end up, like, miserably. There's this fantastic one between Obeseker and, what's his name? Stalins.
I was like, what?
Obeseker and Stalins over the, like, this notion of the Atlantic. And it's about Captain Cook, right? Did Captain Cook's arrival herald the beginning of history in Atlantic history, right? Or not? And did the apotheosis of Captain Cook, because Captain Cook is kind of made into a godlike figure, right? How is that? Solins comes from, in anthropology, he comes from what's known as a structural functional school, whereas Obeseker comes from the symbolic school, linguistic symbolic school.
Sounds good.
And the debate between them, it was so fierce.
I like the symbolic guy.
It made it like they've become bitter rivals. Or in France, like the two big thinkers, one of them is Olivier Roy. I forgot the other guy's name. Oh shit, I'll remember it later.
Yeah.
But they talk about terrorism,
right?
And they used to be colleagues. Now they're bitter rivals to the point where like they call one another hacks. So like,
jeez, yeah.
Academia isn't like politicians. You don't get like if you disagree with people.
Mitch McConnell was in that video with Barack Obama. Like, what
at
are
the end
do?
Of the day, they all kind of they're somewhat chummy.
Let's face it, you know, really. They're rich business people.
Yeah.
They don't get affected nearly as much as we do.
They also make money.
They make money off these things. They end up selling out to whoever they... I mean, you know, we also see this with Or was it with the pharmaceutical issue last
week?
Yeah,
Cory Booker takes more money.
Yeah, Cory Booker. Like, everyone was hailing Cory Booker as this great guy.
Like, and then none of them are.
Yeah.
None of them are.
The pharmaceuticals thing comes up where he actually backs us not getting our pharmaceuticals from Canada, you know, for cheaper prices for us. And then, but no one seems to realize that.
It's no, like, people call them out.
He made money off of that.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
or what was his name? Trump's, one of Trump's administration guys who basically worked for a company, an oil company. Then got into Congress, passed a law on behalf of that oil company, and made a profit off of the of the law. Like, he got called out on that shit, right? Like, this is quite a typical politician's fare. Yeah. They're not particularly unique in that regard.
You saw it with Marco Rubio grilled Rex Tillerson pretty badly, but at the end of the day, he quote unquote reluctantly sided.
Well, the same thing with the Democrats, right? Like, the Democrats may not have had the vote, but the Democrats supported. There's a significant number of Democrats who supported Mike Pompeo for CEO, right?
CIA.
So, like, he got appointed with a lot of Democratic votes.
Then what's his name? Fucking Jim Comey, James Comey. What's his name?
What about James Comey?
He's still head of the FBI.
Yeah, well, the FBI is every like 6 to 8 years or something, or every 16 years.
But they just reappointed him.
He's not reappointed.
Oh, I thought you could.
No, he doesn't get reappointed by Trump.
Oh,
a lot of those officials, like especially law enforcement, they stay in so that they don't become political tools, right? So he was reappointed by Obama. Gotcha. He was a Bush figure. He's in there for until at least 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he's sexy.
Can we also just make mention of George W.'s seemingly impossible task of fighting with his poncho?
It's good to know that.
I mean, he sent us literally into the longest war that we have.
It's good to know that 8 years has passed and he still has a change. Yeah, he's like, still a doofus.
And then Dick Cheney's behind him with a goofy looking
suit. I told you that. No one was paying attention.
No, I noticed him. He just looked at him.
There was a look of pure exasperation on Cheney's face. Like, oh, this guy.
You just hear him. Just I can look at that picture. And just hear.
He makes a penguin noise.
Yeah, like Burgess Meredith.
That's Dick Cheney.
No, and then the funniest part was like Bush was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to put it on like this, and he's smiling afterwards.
He was so content with his plastic poncho. I mean, the guy's a war criminal. Let's not romanticize him. Yeah. Let's not call him an adorable old man. He's got blood on his hands. But if he's not the avatar of 2017, I don't know what. When we end 2017, I will make the case that the avatar was already set.
Yeah.
Like the soul of 2017.
Yo, I'm telling you, like, to put legit, on that, like right now. I miss W.
I don't.
I miss W more so now than ever before.
Well, it's only been 4 days. And in those 4 days, Donald Trump has managed to done quite a bit of damage. So let's just mention a few of the things before we go why you actually missed
Keystone, Dakota.
So he already approved. He approved executive order DAPL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dakota Access Pipeline, Keystone.
Yep. He officially approved it. It's going forward.
Fucker.
He froze funding from the EPA,
yep.
So Environmental Protection Agency, which really screws over. I have a lot of colleagues who work in ecology, and they literally lost their funding with a stroke of a pen. That's it. They don't have any funding. He also shut down communication between government officials and the public.
Yeah, he shut down the Twitter.
Which I love because, what is it, Badlands National Park decided to go, fuck it. And go crazy. Did you guys see this?
Mm-mm.
On Twitter, whoever was the Twitter manager of Badlands National Park said, fuck it, and just started tweeting out about climate change.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was great. Like, they became a Twitter hero.
And then all their tweets got deleted.
So, like, you could tell, like, oh, fairly well, poor Twitter manager, whoever
that was.
You
know, that was that moment in Shawshank when Andy Dufresne locks the door and puts the opera music over the loudspeaker.
Yeah, it was a moment of defiance.
Right? And then now this poor guy in the Badlands Twitter account is now stuck in solitary.
I don't know who it was, but I was like, I love the fact that it was like within 4 days, we found a personal red line. Like, that's it. They crossed the line. So whoever that person is gone. But they shut down a communication between all of that. Tomorrow, or when this comes out, you will have heard that they will be banning refugees
from like Iraq, Iran, Syria,
from basically any country that we've
Pakistan,
Yeah, any country that we've invaded. Now, Pakistan's not one of them. It's Syria, Somalia, Libya.
Afghanistan isn't on there either,
though. Iran, Iraq. So basically a bunch of the countries we've bombed and invaded, the ones that we've fucked up in the first place.
Yeah.
We've completely frozen refugees. Refugees are always kind of the first to be hit by these type of
laws. But you know what his supporters are going to say? Well, at least he's not banning all Muslims.
Well, that's the first step. Yeah. And then he is also officially signing in the executive order demanding the wall be built.
Yeah, and I think he, is defunding Planned Parenthood soon?
He's
and
defunding Planned Parenthood. He already defunded
PBS
and NGOs that provide health care internationally if they give any form of abortion. So the first attack was on abortion, was on reproductive rights, but internationally.
Yeah.
Because he can't do it on a national basis. Congress needs to pass a law, right? Or it needs to be overturned by the courts. But he did defund it internationally. He's also cutting funding to the National Endowments for the Humanities, for the Arts and the Humanities, which is, of course, fucked up. Curtis.
Gosh. Yeah. All right. Well, let me talk to him. Asian.
Yeah. No, we're just kidding. It's my food.
Yeah, fucking Ali, bro. He knows we're doing the podcast and he still orders food.
You know, the DoorDash closes.
Yeah, but I mean, God damn it.
If I waited till after the podcast, man, that's what you go to bed sleeping.
Yeah.
That's true. Go to bed sleepy. Yeah, you're supposed to go to bed sleepy.
Go to bed hungry.
God damn it, man.
I've been eating all day. I actually didn't eat like yesterday either.
The hell's wrong with you?
I forgot. I was busy.
He's the only person I know who forgets to eat.
It's not important.
You and I don't forget to eat.
It was not important. I had important things to do.
Yeah. Like what?
I was railing at Donald Trump.
You're tweeting.
You son of a man.
Yeah, he's fighting the good fight.
You know, I was told today that us leftists, right? I love that I'm a leftist now, are just as bad as Sean Hannity, but we're like the opposite.
Or on the other side.
We're on the other side.
Who said this to you?
Some old Afghan man.
Yes.
Because he posted something about like the women's march, and it was like, look at all these women. Only 12 of them voted. The rest of them were all too busy watching the Kardashians.
That's not true. The majority of the people of the Women's March voted.
Yeah. And then
people forget he lost the popular vote, assholes, by 3 million votes.
But then, he posted, he's like, something about, you guys are just taking offense to this because you're all, sensitive. And I was like, no, we're taking offense to this because you're being misogynistic. You're claiming that women were too busy watching the Kardashians to vote. He's like, I bet you there was 75% to 25% men at this march. I was like, no, that's not the case. I was like, and second off, men can watch the Kardashians too. Why do you think I'm just attacking women?
Who is this person?
That's some older Afghan man.
What an idiot.
Yeah. And I'm
like a total asshole.
Yeah. And here's the thing that pisses me off.
I love how the women's march is an indication of people being sensitive, but Donald Trump bitching about his crowd size isn't him being sensitive. I mean, if you want to talk about special snowflake.
Yeah,
no. Donald Trump is the embodiment.
You know what pissed me off the most about this asshole? On Facebook, it spells your name for you, right? So my name is spelled D-A-W-O-U-D. This son of a bitch spells it D-A-O-U-D, multiple times. I'm like, it's right there, you fucking cunt. It's right there.
I read this on your status update, Greg, because he was all like, you guys lost, try again in 4 more years. Wasn't that
same
the guy? He's like Dawoo Jun or whatever it is, right?
Same guy.
Yeah. My God,
his name is Ed. I want to call him D just to piss him off.
I do that. I deliberately call people by different names.
Yeah. Thing is, though, this guy is ridiculous because I don't engage in Facebook arguments. But that whole women are watching Kardashians thing, I should have been like, well, you could have been there too, but you were too busy watching Pornhub and jerking off. You know, you can put
or
whatever,
arguing on Facebook.
You can put it by whatever stupid, ridiculous.
This fascinates me. His thing was, I have daughters. I'm pro women. No, you're not, because you just equated them for being too lazy to go vote because they're watching the Kardashians.
Yeah, Bill Cosby had daughters too.
I don't quite understand why people are against the women's march. It was peaceful. There was no violence involved. Of course, that's also because policing varies depending on what community it is, right?
That's true.
Because so policing a woman's march is different from policing Black Lives Matter. So it wasn't a military presence, right? So there are differences. But the point is, I'm pretty sure this fucking country was founded on one big tamper tantrum. So don't tell me that oh, why are you guys complaining? How dare you? Just wait another four. Can you imagine that one guy sitting there going, dude, George Washington, just wait 4 more years. And then we'll talk about the British.
Who cares about the king?
This country was literally built on a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
So a bunch of rich white people getting angry that their taxes went to a king.
There was some funny signs I saw where it was like, like, don't forget, white women voted for Trump.
Yeah, that was a good one.
There's a bunch of like white girls like taking selfies right behind it.
I love that. That was one of my favorite signs.
And the other,
they're right. White women didn't vote overwhelmingly, but they did vote a lot.
No, white women. It was like 53%.
They didn't. White women didn't. They voted in higher numbers than we thought they did.
No,
but it was. They still broke for Clinton.
No, so white women.
Yeah, white women
went towards.
White women went towards Donald Trump, but women in general went towards broke,
Hillary Clinton. Yeah, and then it was 63% of all non-college educated white women voted Trump, and it was 53% of white women total.
Yeah.
But no, and then the other one was that Persian actor guy who was like, "So, can we expect you at the next Black Lives Matter?"
There is a couple really good signs. My friends sent photos from the Orange County.
Did you see Woke Baby?
I saw Woke Baby. Woke Baby was really cute.
Woke Baby, she just scribbled on a sign.
Yeah, Woke Baby was really cute. But I actually love the little kids that had the signs that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of friends that we grew up with, actually, you know, they brought their kids to D.C. to march and everything.
Oh, I love that. I would totally take my kids. But there was like one sign that said, "Our generation will undo every damage that you do. Yeah. Everything you do, we will work against." Like, I love that. There was like moments of real hope. Women that wrote stuff. There was like, "Don't regulate my body" stuff. That was particularly fascinating. The one that I went to, which was in Berkeley, was very intersectional. So like, there's a lot of chance of Black Lives Matter. There's a lot of Trump. Like, it wasn't just a women's march. It was a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Right. So, there
was like zero arrests.
There were zero arrests. And then I saw a couple of photos from the ones down here in Southern California. And there's one sign was "Historians against repeating history." One of my friends had made that sign.
That's a really good one.
That was a good one. "Historians against repeating history."
I legit debating calling in sick to go to the march. But like, I knew my boss would catch me.
I didn't end up going. No.
Yeah. I knew my boss would catch me. Cause I went to work and I was like, "Can I leave and go to the march?" She's like, "No." I was like, "Come on, you're a woman. You should let me leave. They're going to support you."
It was a person who outed themselves at the march.
Really?
For their family. They were in the closet and they were like on the march carrying a rainbow flag. Like, yeah. Like, they didn't realize that they were on the news. Their family's just like, "Wait, what?
My son's a gay?"
It was a girl.
"My daughter is a gay?"
It was an interesting march. And then, of course, in D.C., the celebrities came out in force. Katy Perry and
Jake Gyllenhaal. Judd.
Is Ashley Judd still considered a celebrity?
She's still a celebrity. She made a rap.
She did make a pretty cool rap, actually, surprisingly.
But then, like,
Jake Gyllenhaal was there. Stephen Colbert was there. Yeah.
Her sister, Winona Judd, was like, vehemently like against her.
There was a lot of celebrities.
Yeah.
Though they were, you know, who was missing? Who? Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Oh, women were talking, like the
Swifty.
The millennials were talking about how Miley Cyrus was there, Katy Perry was there, people who practice what they preach.
Uh-huh.
But
Taylor Swift
was not there.
I'm not surprised. You
know, 57 countries. 57 countries had this a march.
Yeah.
London.
I had friends who were marching in the London one.
Yeah. So, you know.
I had friends in the London one too.
You know, Trump's done a good job of uniting us against him.
Well, Bernie Sanders said that. He's like, "You made a tragic mistake. And by trying to divide us, you united us." I mean, it sounds good, right? Yeah. But at the end of the day,
Bernie just says nice things.
He says nice things, but at the end of the day, reality is that, you know, lot of these people that are protesting may not also be.
Bernie's got the it factor, right? So in wrestling, to be a good wrestler, you need to have like good like in ring work. You don't really have to have good in ring work.
What the fuck is in ring work?
It's so like
your wrestling ability.
Your wrestling ability. Right?
To wrestle.
Yeah. No, it's a lot harder than it seems. Trust me. Don't fucking get me started, motherfucker.
Did you say wrestling? You get a fancy in ring work. Yeah. No, it's wrestling. He's wrestling.
Yeah, well, it's.
Oh, I thought you said, "Who is he wrestling?" I'm like, "Bernie's wrestling everyone." Yeah. That's awesome.
No,
I said, "Why don't you just call wrestling?"
Yeah.
Someone wrestled Richard Spencer in the face.
That was good.
I hate these arguments. Is it okay to punch a Nazi?
Yes, always. Answer is yes. The guy said, "Is a black genocide really a bad thing?" Yes, it is okay to punch him.
If you start talking about black genocide, he's like, "Well, everyone's entitled to their opinion." No.
Yeah. Nope. I love, too, is the fact that he got punched while I was talking about Pepe the Frog.
I tweeted out a picture of Captain America punching Hitler and Richard Spencer getting punched.
And then I put one up of someone.
I think we were on at the same time.
We were all at the same time with the Curly Nerdy Twitter account. We're currently nerdy on Twitter. But it's you can always tell the difference between my tweets and Elise's tweets on Twitter. There I retweeted one where it was a picture. It's like whenever when he gets punched, the air horn sign, the comes through. Like,
no. So yeah, in wrestling, right, you need to have good wrestling.
You need to wrestle. Yeah.
Well, some people can't, dude. Bill Goldberg sucks.
You need to actually wrestle.
But you know what Bill Goldberg has was a presence. He had charisma. He had the it factor. Oh. Right? So when you have the it factor, like guys like Hogan, they sucked.
Hulk Hogan sucked.
Yeah, he's still a horrible person. But he sucked in the ring. But he had it factor. He had charisma. People liked
him. He was a showman.
Yeah. The Rock. The Rock, his in-ring talent is like marginal at best. Like he's average.
He's got the people's elbow.
But it's a garbage move. It's just an elbow drop.
The people's elbow, you asshole.
He just added the people's
elbow. Elbow of the people.
Right? It's literally the socialist response to capitalism.
Seriously.
People's elbow.
Where it comes from.
That is exactly where it comes from.
It was
the people's response to capitalism.
It was him making fun of like Hulk Hogan's atomic leg drop.
Nope. What you don't understand is the socialist implications of the people's elbow.
Get the fuck out of here. Anyways, but what The Rock had was charisma.
The eyebrow.
And that's what you need, bro. People like these leaders with charisma.
This is a perennial question of leadership, right? Is charisma. Mm-hmm. Like, what is charisma? Because charisma can be quite a nebulous factor. Mm-hmm. But historically speaking, charisma, like in the kind of the pre-modern world, actually referred to some kind of a mystical power.
Comes from the name Karishma, which is Indian.
No, not at all. You're just making shit.
Alternative facts.
Alternative facts.
Are you sure? I believe this to be true, so I think it's true.
Why does it matter?
I feel like it's true.
But like charisma was actually believed to be like an actual mystical force that people possessed. Mm-hmm. So like a king who had charisma was anointed by God, that he was like imbued with like. So the idea was that if something happened to the king's body, the land would also suffer.
Like divine rule and
divine shit. Right is justification, right. Uh-huh. But like there's a charisma. But then this also comes down to religious leadership, like the difference between earned leadership, right? It's like you're a leader because you've studied for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have expertise in it. Or you're a leader because there's something inherent in you. You have like this a certain quality. The charisma has always meant different things. Today we think of charisma like George Clooney. Mm-hmm. Right, or what you mentioned, right?
The
showmanship.
Rock. Yeah, showmanship.
Right. But charisma means different things at different points in history. And charisma is also probably one of the biggest factors in modern day politics, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's charismatic power still is one of the most important factors in electing a politician, yeah. Specifically our president. Few of our presidents have been non-charismatic.
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah,
he was a little peanut farmer.
He had a different type of charisma, right? It was like a simple, humble charisma.
Lyndon Baines Johnson.
But we also saw like how it
he was very charismatic.
It screwed
Johnson was very charismatic.
Or it screwed Nixon when him and Kennedy,
right?
You know,
Nixon and Kennedy.
Yeah, like Nixon lost. He was flop sweating.
People who listened into the VC. Now this is kind of apocryphal. It wasn't actually this way, right? But. A lot of people argue that people who listened to the radio show thought Nixon won because he was very well informed, whereas people who watched the TV thought that Kennedy won because Nixon was under all those heavy lights and he was sweating and he looked nervous and shifty, whereas Kennedy was very calm and composed and good looking.
Uh-huh.
And for the record, Lyndon B. Johnson was actually quite charismatic. Lyndon B. Johnson was not only charismatic, he flaunted the fact that he fucked more people than Kennedy. He's like, I could fuck more women in a day than that little shit could fuck in a year.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he did. Lyndon B. Johnson was very angry that Kennedy got the credit as being
a womanizer.
A womanizer. He's like, I'm the real womanizer in this house. Johnson was weird.
Yeah.
Johnson also.
Why do you think his last name was Johnson?
And, you know, funny enough, one of his favorite habits was shitting with the door open, reading a newspaper, and dictating to his secretary. His poor secretary would have to sit there and take dictation when he was taking his shit on the John.
They call him B. Johnson for sure.
Johnson was a character.
Little BJ.
His charisma also was a particularly interesting. He comes from a particular school of political thought where he uses physical intimidation with charisma combined. So when he wanted to get things done, what he would do is he would talk to politicians.
Yeah, he would tower over them, right?
Because he was a very tall man. He would tower over them and he would shake their hands and he would pull them close.
Mm-hmm.
So like he would get into their personal space. It would make them feel uncomfortable. But all he was doing was saying like nice things like, I know that I can rely on your support. You're a solid man.
Yeah.
But it was like the combination of like verbal niceties
and physical intimidation. Uh-huh. Usually, maybe like, yeah, yes, Mr. Johnson. Of course, Mr. President. Of course, Mr. President. And then they would agree to it. And he wouldn't get awkward. So he'd just keep holding their hand.
Learning things about LBJ.
LBJ is an interesting character. Yeah. He's one of the weirder.
Who would you say didn't have charisma as a president? Because Reagan had charisma.
Reagan had a lot of charisma. Yeah, I would say George W. Bush didn't have as much charisma, but he had more charisma than Gore. And he had more charisma than Kerry.
He also had more charisma than his dad. His dad was just puking on people.
His dad was called a dork.
Yeah, his dad.
Seriously, you know Roger Ailes, who used to run Fox News until he got caught sexually harassing the world. He actually told him, stop wearing short sleeve buttoned up shirts. You look like a dork. Yeah. That's literally what he said to him because he used to love wearing what we call the nerd shirt, right? Yeah. It's what you wear if you work in fucking Geek Squad.
Yeah, there's a pocket protector.
Yes, that is the Geek Squad.
Button up shirt. Short sleeve. Yeah. With that short sleeve. And he's like, you need to stop wearing that. You look like a dork.
Someone nerd alerted George Bush into one term.
He was not particularly charismatic, which is why he was one term because he lost to
Clinton.
Clinton.
I played a jazz saxophone.
As much as we talk about policies. And policy certainly, I'm not saying policy doesn't matter, but there's certain about, like there's a reason why.
Hillary didn't have any charisma.
Hillary doesn't have any charisma. Yeah. But Obama does, right? This is why Obama has a cult following. Like on the left, there are the Obama bros are like, Obama can do no wrong.
Yeah, like I have friends who every time they write President Barack Obama, they put a goat emoji afterwards. As like greatest of all time, I'm like he wasn't the greatest president of all time.
He will go down as one of the most successful presidents.
Yeah, like he's a good, great president. Yeah, not the greatest.
His legacy
of all time.
Is pretty successful, but one can argue that his legacy is also pretty shitty because who follows him up? Yeah. Trump. And your legacy is often defined by who follows you, right? Yeah. Yeah, if you do a lot of damage to your legacy, you're kind of screwed. Yeah, charisma plays a massive role all over. There's this idea of like. Think of Obama, right? When Obama gives a speech, how is it? Like he riles the crowd out. He draws them in. He's familiar in some sense. Like he leans on one elbow and he talks to them and he kind of jokes.
Yeah. The hand motion
too. The hand motion. Yeah. But at the same time, there's kind of this bigger than life personality that's kind of aloof, right? He's not like your best friend, but he's charming and just enough. Whereas Hillary Clinton doesn't have that quality. Yeah. Now, that one can argue that could be quite misogynistic or sexist, right? Mm-hmm. This notion that charisma is a particularly masculine trait.
But Elizabeth Warren has charisma.
Well, people argue that she's not particularly charismatic. She's a firebrand, but she's not charismatic.
But that's her charisma.
Yeah, one could argue that maybe it is. But generally, charisma means there's a charm element to charisma.
So here's the thing. So like
Bernie Sanders is not charismatic also, I would argue. But one could argue that he has a classical form of charisma, that there's like a inherent quality to him, even if he's not charming.
In fact,
Bernie Sanders is actually a one-note pony. Like he's a one-trick pony. In fact, like when you have a conversation, if you ever see in his interviews, he's actually not that charming of a guy. He's always just, he's a grouch.
But he's a lovable, but it's like a lovable quality.
There's more of like an older notion of charisma, like there's something on the inside.
But you combine that President Obama, or former President Obama, with Joe Biden. Joe Biden's a naturally charismatic. He's very charismatic. A nut, right? But people love this nut. Yeah. People in Washington love him. Doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum.
They love Joe Biden. They're talking about unleashing Joe.
Yeah, right.
And like, because they've always held him back. They've always held him back because he's crazy. Yeah. He's gaff prone, right? He's like, you can't put him out there because he says things. Puts his foot in his mouth. Like when he was on the campaign trail and he's like, I want to take Trump out behind the shed.
Like, underneath the lockers.
Democrats like, you can't say
and he's
that.
He's all laughing. Laughing like when he was debating with Paul Ryan. He's like laughing at him the whole time. He's just laughing.
I think this is the first time in U.S. history that we've ever heard malarkey used in a political debate. Yeah.
But perfect example, I think, was with Joe. And this is why the Joe and Barack Obama memes were so great, right? Because you can actually see Joe Biden saying those things.
Yeah.
But if that motherfucker talks to me, I'll punch him right in his nose, right? You can actually see Joe Biden saying that.
Or the scarf whip. But the scarf whip is one of my favorite things, just because it's like he did it so unconsciously, but it came off as so badass.
No, or like my favorite Joe Biden meme is like you see Barack saying, "No, Joe, your advice for Mike Pence can't be get fucked, Hoosier."
You know, there's the queer dance parties in front of his house.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, right. That was great.
I saw a video of that.
If there's one community that knows how to protest, it's the LGBTQ community.
Yeah,
they've been doing it long enough that they know how to do it in style.
The glitter bomb.
Like, I love the idea of the glitter bomb. It's like one of the best. Like, it's so annoying. Yeah. But it's so harmless. It's like one of the best ways of fucking
And at
with
least
people.
They're having fun doing it, right?
One of my favorite Joe Biden memes is the one where he's like, I left a prayer rug in your room and a Kenyan birth certificate. He's going to lose his shit.
Here's the thing with charisma, right? So LeBron James, right?
LeBron James.
Very charismatic basketball player. People love him. You either love him or you hate him, right? But he's because he incites that in people. Because like he's got this like thing about him. Like people are like, oh, he doesn't take the game too seriously. He's dancing with his teammates when they're up by 50. And I'm like, well, that's just him like having a good time. So it's like kind of shows that he's got this.
But it also points out that how like what we define as charisma is really nebulous. Like you can't really point to it and go, this is charisma, and it's the same as this charisma. It's different. It's
different, right?
It's like
so
porn.
Look,
it's like porn. It's like you'll know it when you see it.
So
I got the reference. Supreme Court reference.
Yeah. LeBron's got this thing, right? Like where his followers will follow him no matter what move he makes, right? He could.
Where is he now?
He's back in Cleveland. He won a championship for Cleveland. Okay. Right? But like, so he left Cleveland, went to Miami. You had a whole bunch of people that were Cleveland fans and now are Miami fans, right? Then he left Miami, went back to Cleveland, and now they're all Cleveland fans again.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, no matter what he does, he'll have his supporters and they will like fight to the ends for him. No, he's better than Kobe. No, he's better than Jordan. Like, blah, blah, blah.
Now that's a very different definition of charisma than for what is traditionally seen as almost a religious notion of charisma,
mm-hmm.
right? So charismatic leaders, Christ was a charismatic leader,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. So it's a different type of leadership than what was common in first century Palestine. The leadership there was rabbinic, right?
Okay.
Or the early stages of rabbinic, which was Pharisaic, uh-huh. right? That is leadership rooted in expertise of the law,
okay?
Right? You were an expert in the law and therefore you were a leader. Christ's leadership is what? Different. He's a charismatic preacher. He's about inspiring and moving the people. In fact, Mesmer during the around 18th century talks about magnetism, right? As an actual fluid or waves that come off of people, right?
Yeah.
Animal magnetism. And he talks about it in the forms of like healing and hypnosis uh-huh. and whatnot. But there is a moment of kind of almost mass hypnosis that plays in the traditional notions of charisma. And in anthropology, they talk about this in particular as a sort of magical leadership, mm-hmm. right? That the leader was simultaneously not human. That there was something supernatural about them, right? That they were larger than life.
Mm-hmm.
The drawback of that is that when that distills into modern politics, where that mythos is stripped, right? We no longer have divine leadership. We don't no longer have charismatic movements. We have secular politics.
Uh-huh.
If charisma still plays a factor, you then end up with the Trumps of the world,
yeah.
right? People who policy-wise may not be what you support, but have that star power.
Yeah.
Right, so now Democrats are, for example, arguing that they need to put a celebrity up. So people are arguing that Oprah should run.
What?
It's like they're actually saying that. Like, there's people on the left that are going, we need to now have celebrities run for office. And this is an interest. This is what like, happens when like, you what? Think about charisma fucking and leadership.
A congressman
right?
in Illinois.
So like, if charisma is the justifying or the qualification of leadership, then. Is Oprah qualified to be president? Well, I mean, apparently Donald Trump was.
Yeah. I mean, it completely changes the landscape of how one campaigns now.
Right. Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, I mean, we talked about it too with kind of the camera turning inward, right?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
turning towards us. Now, personal branding has become
yeah.
kind of the qualification in which people are going to ascribe to your views, not so much with the views themselves.
Well, this is the problem of in YouTube, right, too, is like, people argue that substance versus content or content versus style.
Uh-huh.
That the most popular YouTubers don't produce much substantively.
Yeah, like pranksters and shit like that.
But they have a charismatic following. Yeah.
It's not like you look at any of the big channels. A lot of times, like, they hop on trends of doing things. Like,
yeah.
Boyfriend, do my boyfriend's makeup tag or ALS ice bucket challenge
yeah.
or what mannequin challenge or whatever else,
prank.
Right? Like, yeah.
yeah.
They do that now. It's like they got into the point where they don't even need to create real content anymore. They can sit there and they can say nothing or
yeah.
they can jump on trends that already been established and yet they'll still gain more of a following because of the magnetism that they've garnered for themselves or that they created, right?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting question because, yes, there is a certain level of charisma that needs to be adopted by political leaders because you wouldn't vote for them if it speaks to all of us, right? But at the same time, it's like you said, it's dangerous. Because, yeah, the person can be charismatic as hell. I think George Clooney is very charismatic. Right? I don't want him running the military.
No.
Right?
But I mean, but it's the same thing.
Mostly
in, like,
because of the Batman movies.
No, it's the same thing with like musicians too. Like, I mean, look at who's popular. Like, I want to say the two most popular pop artists right now are Taylor Swift and Kanye West. Right? They're selling out arenas everywhere they go. Fucking people.
Fuck Kanye West.
Yeah, right. Fuck him. But we're always talking about him. Why? Because he does random shit and does things like this, and his followers will fucking fight to the death about how great of a genius he is and this and this and this. And the same thing with like Taylor Swift fans. Like, oh, look, she's such a powerful force for women, blah, 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 right? And I mean, at the end of the day, though, like, what are they really doing that's like different than anyone else? They're just kind of getting more attention and branding themselves. Like, Kanye just does crazy shit to do crazy shit, right? Like, well, as you could all tell, I'm running for president in 2020. Like, what kind of, that's just mumbo jumbo. He was talking about how he was high prior to that, and now he's running for president. But people were like, yeah, I'm going to vote for Kanye in 2020.
I think it's weird. It's like trolling culture became dominant culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like people will do it just to say that it was like just to laugh at themselves for doing it than they will for because it actually means something to their own quality of life or to other people's quality of life.
Yeah, but
you
it's
know,
just,
it's like if anything about people voting for Harambe for president, like she was any indication as to how messed up everything is, it's like people are willing to sacrifice their own livelihoods to be able to laugh at the fact that they that voted they did something Harambe. Stupid, that they were able to troll, right? And but the troll has become like a, you know, it's something that everyone does now. It's with the internet and everything. And
yeah, like there's like literally people I know on the internet who are just trolling to troll, and that's their way of life.
So plenty of people did that. The charisma, as I mentioned earlier, as the notion of kind of divinely conferred power,
mm-hmm.
is first used in kind of secular sense by Max Weber, a sociologist, very famous sociologist, and he says, charisma is a certain quality of an individual personality by virtue of which he is set apart from ordinary men and treated as endowed with supernatural, superhuman, or at least specifically exceptional powers or qualities. These are not accessible to the ordinary person, but are regarded as divine origin or as exemplary. On the basis of them, the individual concerned is treated as a leader. This kind of informs our cultural references too. So if you look at figures in pop culture that we view as powerful or leadership like, they have that kind of mystical quality. The Magneto's, right? Magneto's a bad guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he has that charisma. There's a certain like almost divinely conferred authority to him that people listen, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not the most, he's a very powerful mutant, right? But he's not the most powerful mutant in the world.
Yeah.
He's still, people listen to him. The Xavier's, but the Xavier versus Magneto are very different types of charisma.
Yeah.
Right? So like the Magneto charisma is very much traditional emotion inspiring, because charisma is also about inducing emotions in people.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
So for him, he makes you feel like you're part of his brotherhood. Mm-hmm. He makes you feel like you've got the power to fight back, and he riles up your rage.
Dude, especially Magneto, called
the Brotherhood of Mutants.
Magneto would be the perfect leader for ISIS. I'm just saying.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Why do you always bring up ISIS?
I don't know.
There's a line, and seriously, you just cross
habitual
it.
Line stepper.
No, listen. He brings up. Like, he brings the good people, well, not the good people, the bad people.
Jesus Christ!
Diz, you are anti-charisma.
Yes, everything you say repels and repulses us.
But it's a brotherhood.
You know the worst part of it? No, stop it. The worst part about it is Diz could have actually said something really innocuous, and we'd still be like, God damn it. Diz would be like, you know, the weather's really nice. God fucking damn it, Diz.
What's the matter with you, Diz?
That's what your anti-charisma does. Like, you make us feel repulsed.
Yeah, dude.
You repugnant.
I told Ellie I had a good segue, and he's like, no, you didn't. It sucked. If you came up with that segue, it would have been like, ah, great segue.
You do have anti-charisma. People naturally hate you.
That's not true. People naturally love me.
People,
just you two hookers.
People say that they love you, but yeah. They naturally, like, their inclination is to hate you.
Your inclination is to hug me. I'm like a teddy bear.
No, they're
What definition of teddy bear?
They're trying to strangle you.
I'm cuddly.
Yeah, if they mean like ripping off the teddy bear's head.
That's not true. People want to sleep next to me.
Diz,
like a teddy bear.
Diz. No one wants to know about the women you've paid to sleep next to you.
It's only been none that I've paid.
Did you say nine?
None.
Oh, okay. Like, oh,
jeez. Like, it's only been nine. Jesus, Diz. God damn it. Anti-charisma. But is it so wrong to pay a woman for sex?
This is a conversation I refuse to have with you on air. I refuse to have this conversation with you on air. That's it. It's done.
Supporting family.
I'm just saying. Oh, my God. Anyways, as I was talking about, charisma. There is two different types. There's the I think we could argue that this applies around the world to charisma. There's the Magneto charisma, right, which we talked about. Uh-huh. But then there's also the Xavier charisma, yeah. Right? The
it works,
Xavier
charisma works like another.
Yeah, yeah, the Xavier charisma is about inspiring you to become. And this becomes also a kind of a problem because Xavier's charisma is limited in some ways. Right, mm-hmm. And not just because he's got no legs. Right,
he's thinking it, Diz. I know.
He was legless. I crossed the line.
He was legless pooch, right?
Hey, you're crossing comic book companies. Stop.
But those are imaginary.
I'm insulted by this.
So like, there's limitations to Xavier.
Okay,
he has to rely on that other form of charisma that is more
mind control,
visceral. And so what does he do?
Yeah.
He has a Cyclops. Mm. Right? He has a Cyclops.
Like Polyphemus.
Whereas you don't have that with Magneto. Yeah, Magneto may appoint like leaders every once in a while, like lieutenants. Mystique. But he himself is in charge. He doesn't have a Cyclops like figure.
And he's like a frontline general as opposed to like so one like, who's like a on the domestic.
So he's like
side.
A Napoleon. Napoleon was on the front line, no? Fighting with his crew.
So I would argue that you have Magneto, which is a much more visceral charisma. Versus Xavier, which is a collaborative charisma.
Yeah.
And collaborative charisma requires someone to become that visceral. So they themselves aren't it, but they require.
Yeah.
So you'll have a good example of this would probably be a politician who has a really strong general, right, that leads the military for them. Versus a person who comes off as a war chief themselves.
Yeah. Or even we can even look at it as W was kind of the affable old man to Dick Cheney's, you know, like
is that
puppet
charisma
strings.
Or is that just evil?
You know, but the very fine line.
It's just I don't know if it's charisma because no one ever went like hey, that Cheney guy. He's charming as hell.
He shot that man.
I mean, literally, we introduced
him in the ass.
We introduced his ass with penguin noises earlier. Yeah. So I don't know if I would call Cheney charisma.
No, I'm not saying Colin Cheney Powell. Was charismatic.
Colin Powell, for example, is a good example of that.
Yeah, okay. Colin Powell would be charismatic.
Yeah, Colin Powell is a charismatic figure. But it's such a weird nebulous.
Condoleezza
concept.
Rice wasn't.
Condoleezza Rice sounds like a Mexican
Rice.
Dish. Yeah. God damn it.
Condoling is right.
So anyways, the point is that the charisma is this weird nebulous concept that we still use today, and it informs our pop culture and even our politics. And I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a big
problem. We also saw, if you ever read Cable in Deadpool, it's one of my favorite incarnations of the Deadpool character. He actually creates his own island called Providence, right? Yeah. And he's actually he's like this utopian charismatic leader that brings people in. They actually S.H.I.E.L.D. sends Captain America to go and to stop him from creating this government, and he actually converts Captain America.
Well, Captain America himself is also another charismatic
leader. Exactly, another charismatic leader, right? Technically, he is, compared to the rest of the Avengers, he really doesn't have
much. He's got a shield.
Yeah.
I've said it before, I'll say it again, he's a worthless Avenger.
But every single person defers to Captain America for his leadership skills.
He's not the most powerful Avenger.
Yeah.
Same thing, it's like you don't always have the most powerful character leading things. But somehow Captain America is the leader because he's got that charisma.
He's got the it factor, bro.
I mean, let's be real. Tony Stark can kill him.
Yeah, if you really wanted to. Tony Stark can kill anyone.
Listen,
Hulk
dude.
Can kill him. Listen, yeah. Listen.
Hulk
listen.
Can kill
Thor can
everybody.
Kill him. Listen,
yeah.
All right? Everybody can kill. Black Widow will kill him.
That's true.
In the NWO, In the NWO, the New World Order, Kevin Nash was the strongest member.
Wrestling NWO.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But Hulk Hogan was the leader because he had the it factor. And Scott Hall was too busy getting drunk. Facts.
I don't know what to say to that.
So
New World Order.
When you said New World Order, I was thinking something completely different.
I know. I thought
it was Illuminatus. Our ass.
Yeah.
Too sweet.
Illuminatus.
That's my favorite part of that
movie.
That's
my favorite part of the movie.
We screamed Illuminatus.
You and I like really stupid parts of movies. This is a, like on like me and V pick thing. Like our favorite moment from Kingdom of Heaven is Rashid has seen it.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-hour fucking movie, but there's one moment. Where Imad ad-Din, the horse lord, comes up to Salah ad-Din and goes, there's a weakness on the Western Gate. Rashid has seen it.
He points to his eye.
He points to his eye. In that moment, Rashid took on like mythical qualities. Rashid the spy.
Yeah, you haven't seen, didn't, you don't see
You've
Rashid
never
the
seen
whole
Rashid.
Movie. He's never mentioned ever, but that Rashid saw.
One of my favorite parts of that movie was when the Templar was yelling, blasphemy, blasphemy.
Blasphemy is a good one.
Silence.
For us, it's silence and Rashid. Because Rashid, like, there's a whole story. We'll talk about Rashid. He's like Omar.
He's like Omar?
He's like another Omar. He's a legendary figure in our world.
Seriously.
Man. There's Rashid.
We don't have any legendary Asian people in our cadre, do we?
And then, of course, we're big fans of that Illuminatus. It's a shitty ass movie.
Shooting somebody.
Illuminatus!
That's Angels and Demons?
Yeah. It's one of the best parts of the movie.
It's the only part
of the movie. He just yells out Illuminatus and the dude gets shot. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it was like the whatchamacallit
guy. It was the cardinal, the bishop.
No, I thought they shot the Swedish guy.
They shoot the Swedish guy, but he points, the bishop comes in and goes, Sanctimonious, and then... And then he goes, Illuminatus, and then they shoot the bishop. Yeah. They pepper the bishop because this fucker yells out, Illuminatus.
The Camerlengo or whatever his name is.
Camerlengo.
Oh, Ewan McGregor.
The bishop, however, goes, you sanctimonious prick.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other guy shouts out, Illuminatus. Apparently the perfect response to any insult.
That was Ewan McGregor, right?
It was Ewan McGregor, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, it wasn't Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor does shout out,
okay,
Illuminatus.
Who's the other guy that we're always confusing Ewan McGregor with?
Who are we confusing
with? We confuse Ewan McGregor and Jude Law. It was Jude Law.
Who the hell put Jude Law in Angels and Demons?
Where was Jude Law?
Where was he? He was Rashid.
The same person.
Oscar so white.
Unaccredited Rashid.
I thought we've discussed this. Jude Law and Ewan McGregor are the same person.
Are they? I assume all young British actors are the same.
They've both played the Pope.
Because, like, I'm not going to confuse him with Derek Jacobi, but, like, I could confuse the two of them.
And then what about Paul Bettany?
Wait, did they both play the Pope?
Yeah, Jude Law is playing young Pope in the new HBO thing.
What HBO thing?
There's a new HBO TV show called Young Pope.
Oh, is he the Pope?
He plays the young
Pope.
Are you sure
it's Jude Law? Or he's just another random white British actor?
I'm pretty sure it's Jude Law.
at least they're like somewhat looking like. It'd be really confusing if he's like, I think it was Idris Elba. I'm like, no. Pretty sure that was Ewan McGregor.
Jude Law. That's Jude Law. He looks like Ewan McGregor. They both play the Pope.
They don't look anything alike, but I can see the confusion.
They're white.
They don't look anything
they're
alike.
They're white. They're British.
Their facial.
They're like, Jude Law and Ewan McGregor. Jesus. You're white and you're British. You're Jude Law and Ewan McGregor. You played the Pope and you're British. It is what it is. Wow. It is what it is.
You've been after.
This is a fucking anti-charisma over here.
Yeah, I know. Shut up, reindeer games.
I'm not even white.
That's my favorite part.
This podcast has derailed. There's no charisma on this podcast. Nothing to keep us in line.
No.
So let's end this podcast by having V do his usual segment. What is it? Food with V? What are we calling this?
I don't know.
Hashtag V eats.
Veets.
Veets. No, that sounds like a disease.
That sounds like a disease.
That's like the syphilis, but updated, mutated virus.
It's worse than syphilis.
It's worse than syphilis. makes you carnivorous.
Spontaneous combustion.
Ravenous carnivorous.
That's actually not a bad thing, though, when you think about it.
You need flesh.
What?
No. Man flesh.
Tea time with V-Tran.
Have you seen that movie Ravenous with Guy Ritchie?
I have not.
It's about cannibalism, but there's a point where like this like friar guy was like, he was licking me! And then like, it was like
random movie things.
It is. It's the same thing with Lord of the Rings. Man Flesh is one of my favorite movies.
Watch Ravenous. It's a great movie. It's on Netflix right now, right? It's a cult classic from the 90s.
All
right,
stop giving out movie recommendations. Start feeding us.
Okay. So, funny thing that Diz always brings out his penchant for prostitutes, right? Because it just so happens that I have a dish this week.
What?
That, the prostitutes eat?
Yeah, well, that was believed to be of prostitutes. Right. Famous Italian.
Made of them?
Hmm? Made of them?
Not made of them. This is Jack the Ripper.
You just started this off with made cannibalism.
From them. Oh, made from them.
From them.
It's a valid question. Yeah.
Sugo alla puttanesca. Spaghetti puttanesca, right?
Okay.
Very.
The fuck did you say?
Very popular dish, very different from the Italian standard palate of very meat-heavy, tomato-heavy sauces. This one is a little bit more oily. It's got anchovies in it, capers. It's very pungent.
I've had it, but without the anchovies.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of salt.
It is oily.
A lot of oily, it's right? There disgusting. Is tomato in it, but it's not.
It's a leftover thing, isn't it?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. So it's not. It's like not slowly stewed. It's not slowly cooked. So the tomatoes are a little bit more fresh. There's capers, there's anchovies, there's olive oil, there's lots of garlic in there. It's all about excess with this, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the term puttanesca is believed to be translated to style of the whore.
What?
Right?
Puta.
No, shit. Yeah. Puta means satan, right? Yeah. Diz almost punch fell out of his seat.
He did almost fall out of his seat.
Jesus Christ, Diz.
It's my keep it in your pants.
It's my new nickname.
Yeah. So, puttanesca? Yeah.
Diz Puneska.
I love it. Diz is already a nickname.
It's true.
You can't have a nickname of a nickname, you idiot.
Why not?
But his nickname has become his name.
I know. It's anti-charisma right there.
Anti-charisma.
Anyways, puttana actually means whore in Italian, right?
Ah, puttana.
Believed that at the time in the mid-20th century that women in whorehouses and brothels would create this dish, right? Because it was a really fast thing to make. They can do it between Johns, right?
Yeah.
And also, the scent of it was so pungent that men would know the brothel was close by, right? And then they would eat it while they were waiting for their favorite hooker or whatever else, right?
It was also paired well with people who were hungover, right?
Absolutely, because of the oiliness, the saltiness, the pasta, all of it. Now, this is what's interesting about this. Food historian Jeremy Parzan actually argues that the puttana puttanesco sauce was actually derived from the word puto, which meant boy.
No,
right.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, though, boy was popular in the 16th century, so 4 centuries before puttanesca became actual a thing. Right now, before that, puto was used for considered a boy of less means.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were poor, if you were undernourished, if you didn't have a lot to you, someone of a lesser station was what you would kind of refer to as puto. Right.
Yeah.
P U T T O. Now, eventually, the word shifts to puttanata. Mm-hmm. Which is like saying shit or crap, right? So it's crap. It's not good stuff. It's low quality. It's low class. Now, the first we saw sugo alla puttanesca in the mid 20th century with a restaurateur named Sandro Petty.
Yeah.
Now, his story behind his using the sugo alla puttanesca is that he had friends over in his restaurant in the early 1950s.
Yeah.
They were all hungry, and they were like, they wanted to cook something. He's like, my pantries are bare right now. I don't have anything.
Yeah.
So he goes, but they go, well, what do you have? He goes, well, I have some tomatoes. I have a little bit of pasta, a couple other things here, anchovies, capers. They're like, just cook with that. Right. So we literally just
I've heard this. I haven't heard the prostitute one, but this one I've heard before.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people argue that it's a next morning leftover show.
Yeah.
Whatever you got, you just toss
kind of.
It
it's like the what is it? The hobo scramble.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the hobo scramble.
So he basically throws all this stuff in there and he makes it, and then they really liked it and he eventually put it on the menu. Now, how it became puttanesca, though, he went, I originally wanted to say spaghetti alla puttanata. The problem is, though, it just didn't sound right to me. So I changed it to spaghetti alla puttanesca, right? Because it sounded better on the menu. So, and we saw this episode eventually come out in cookbooks in the 1950s after Sandro Petty put it on his restaurant menu. Yeah.
Now you've earned a nickname, and now you know this fantastic story.
Of the whore.
Of the whore.
Diz of the whore.
Diz of the whore. Diz of the whore. Why don't you take us out?
Dude, that's messed. That is insulting to your mother.
Of the style of the whore.
Insulting to whoever's fashion you're copying. Why don't you, of the whore, take us out?
Okay. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, follow us, like our page, write in our wall, send us some DMs. You catch us on Twitter at Currently Nerdy. Hashtag this week is hashtag Diz of the Whore.
Diz of the Whore.
We're on Instagram as well. Currently Nerdy on there. Go on there. Follow us. Like our pictures. Write some comments. Tell V that he's special. We're on the Tumblr. Currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there. Follow us. Reblog. Write some cool stuff. Do whatever the Tumblrites do. Ship Ali and V. I don't know. YouTube. You can find us there. Search Currently Nerdy. Go watch our fantastic Beasts and Harry Potter stuff. It was good. Listen to Ali's sultry voice.
Very sultry.
Yeah. And then we're on iTunes. 5-star ratings on iTunes. Please rate, review, and subscribe. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can also find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on my website, which is alialomi.com, or on Twitter, and now on Instagram at AAOLOMI. On Instagram, I'm going to be posting various historical stuff. So like just now, or today, or yesterday, whenever you hear this, I have posted a archival photo of a political cartoon by Dr. Seuss. Uh-huh. And it's a good little exposition of where the term America First comes from.
Did I like it?
Yeah, I don't know. Diz, what about you?
You could find me everywhere at Dizbulla, Dizbullah.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you. And that's not an alternative fact.